Imarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So we start with the first verse. I'll try to use my glasses for this. I'm going to try to get through the entire chapter. It's a very moving and very telling pastime. And Madhavendra Puri shows us the ideal devotee in this particular. And Lord Krishna sets that up to show us. He gives him certain orders to follow. And in his following and the duress and the trials and the difficulties that he encounters in trying to follow them is what is our inspiration. Because we all encounter difficulties, problems, trials, tribulations, and how he kept one thing in mind, and that is, it doesn't matter how difficult, how troublesome, how problematical it is, the Lord's order is all important, all powerful, and it must be fulfilled, come hell or high water, come death or life. So, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Madhavendra Puri. One second, please. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Madhavendra Puri, who is given a pot of sweet rice stolen by Sri Gopinath, celebrated thereafter as Shira Shura. Being pleased by Madhavendra Puri's love, Sri Gopal, the deity of Govardhan, appeared to the public vision. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is the purport of that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur annotates that this Gopal deity was originally installed by Vajra, the grandson of Krishna. Madhavendra Puri rediscovered Gopal and established him on top of Govardhan Hill. This Gopal deity is still situated at Natadvara and is under the management of descendants of Vallabhacharya. The worship of the deity is very luxurious, and one who goes there can purchase varieties of prasad by paying a small price. Text 2. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Prabhu. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. The Lord went to Jagannath Puri and visited Lord Jagannath's temple. He also met with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. All these pastimes have been very elaborately explained by Vrindavan Das Thakur in his book Chaitanya Bhagavat. By nature, all the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very wonderful and sweet. And when they are described by Vrindavan Das Thakur, they become like a shower of nectar. Therefore, I very humbly submit that since these incidents have already been nicely described by Vrindavan Das Thakur, I would be very proud to repeat the same thing, and this would not be very good. I do not have such powers. So this is a very important point of etiquette. Generally, if someone does a job very well, such as writing about these pastimes, that should be good enough. But if then you write the same thing, the implication there is that, well, maybe I can do better, so I will show my version or my variation. So here, Krishna Das Kaviraj does not want to be guilty of this particular, the plug in there okay? Let me check the plug. Unless the bulb went. Otherwise, I have a flashlight. It was a Boy Scout, so they taught me to be prepared. Yeah, next one. One more. There you go. Fine. Thank you. Yeah, so not to worry. Continuing. Therefore, I very humbly submit that since these, I've already done that, I am therefore presenting in short codes All those events already described in the Chaitanya Mangal, now known as Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Some of the incidents in his codes he did not describe elaborately, and so I shall try to describe them in this book. I thus offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur. I hope that I will not offend his lotus feet by this action. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded toward Jagannath Puri with four of his devotees, and he chanted the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra, with great eagerness. Does anybody know who those four were? Okay, I'll give you a little hint. The first one was Lord Nityananda. The second one, huh? I can't hear you. No. Actually, he wanted to go, but Lord Chaitanya told him to stay back. So we'll get the answer in just a moment. Each day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally went to a village and collected a great quantity of rice and other grains for the preparation of prasad. There were many rivers on the way, and at each river there was a tax collector. They did not hinder the Lord, however, and he showed them mercy. Finally, he reached the village of Remuna. Purport. There is a railway station named Baleshvara, and 5 miles to the west is a village named Remuna. The temple of Kshirachura Gopinath still exists in this village. And within the temple, the Samadhi tomb of Rasikananda Prabhu, the chief disciple of Shyamananda Goswami, can still be found. The deity of Gopinath in the temple at Remuna was very attractive. Lord Chaitanya visited the temple and offered his obeisances with great devotion. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his obeisances at the lotus feet of the Gopinath deity, the helmet of flowers on the head of Gopinath fell down and landed on the head of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the deity's helmet fell upon his head, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very pleased, and thus he chanted and danced in various ways with his devotees. All the servants of the deity were struck with wonder due to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intense love, his exquisite beauty, and his transcendental qualities. Because of their love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they served him in many ways, and that night the Lord stayed at the temple of Gopinath. The Lord remained there because he was very eager to receive the remnants of sweet rice offered to the Gopinath deity, having heard a narration from his spiritual master, Ishvarapuri, of what had once happened there. That deity was known widely as Kshirachura Gopinath, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his devotees the story of how the deity became so famous. So that means the deity who stole the sweet rice, and he stole it for Madhavendra Puri, as we will see. Formerly, the deity had stolen a pot of sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri. Therefore, he became very famous as the Lord who stole the sweet rice. Once Madhavendra Puri traveled to Vrindavan, where he came upon the hill known as Govardhan. Madhavendra Puri was almost mad in his ecstasy of love of Godhead, and he did not know whether it was day or night. Sometimes he stood up Sometimes he fell to the ground. He could not discriminate whether he was in a proper place or not. After circumambulating the hill, Madhavendrapuri went to Govinda Kund and took his bath. He then sat beneath a tree to take his evening rest. While he was sitting beneath a tree, an unknown cowherd boy came with a pot of milk, placed it before Madhavendrapuri, and, smiling, addressed him as follows. "Please drink the milk I have brought. Why don't you beg some food to eat? What kind of meditation are you undergoing?" When he saw the beauty of that boy, Madhavendrapuri became very satisfied. Hearing his sweet words, he forgot all hunger and thirst. Madhavendrapuri said, Who are you? Where do you reside? And how did you know I was fasting?" The boy replied, "Sir, I am a cowherd boy, and I reside in this village. In my village, no one fasts. In this village, a person can beg food from others and thus eat. Some people drink only milk, but if a person does not ask anyone for food, I supply him all his edibles." So this has a two-edged meaning. He's speaking as a little boy, saying what he does, but he's also the Supreme Lord who supplies everyone's edibles. "The women who come here to take water saw you, and they supplied me with this milk and sent me to you. I must go very soon to milk the cows, but I shall return and take back this milk pot from you." Saying this, the boy left the place. Indeed, he suddenly could be seen no more, and Madhavendrapuri's heart was filled with wonder. After drinking the milk, Madhavendrapuri washed the pot and put it aside. He looked down the path, but the boy never returned. Madhavendrapuri could not sleep. He sat and chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and at the end of the night, he dozed a little, and his external activities stopped. In a dream, Madhavendrapuri saw the very same boy. The boy came before him, and holding his hand, took him to a bush in the jungle. The boy showed Madhavendrapuri the bush and said, "I reside in this bush, and because of this I suffer very much from severe cold, rain showers, and winds and scorching heat. Please bring the people of the village and get them to take me out of this bush. Then have them situate me nicely on the top of the hill. Please construct a temple on top of that hill and install me in that temple. After this, wash me with large quantities of cold water so that my body may be cleansed. For many days I have been observing you, and I have been wondering, when will Madhavendrapuri come here to serve me? I have accepted your service due to your ecstatic love for me. Thus I shall appear, and by my audience, all fallen souls will be delivered." Hari Bol. "My name is Gopal. I am the lifter of Govardhan Hill. I was installed by Raja, and here I am the authority. When the Mohammedans attacked, the priest who was serving me hid me in this bush in the jungle. Then he ran away out of fear of the attack. Since the priest went away, I have been staying in this bush. It is very good that you have come here. Now just remove me with care." After saying this, the boy disappeared. Then Madhavendrapuri woke up and began to consider his dream. Madhavendrapuri began to lament. "I saw Lord Krishna directly, but I could not recognize him." Thus he fell down on the ground in ecstatic love. Madhavendrapuri cried for some time, but then he fixed his mind on executing the order of Gopal. Thus he became tranquil. After taking his morning bath, Madhavendrapuri entered the village and assembled all the people. Then he spoke as follows. "The proprietor of this village, Govardhan Dari, is lying in the bushes. Let us go there and rescue him from that place. The bushes are very dense, and we will not be able to enter the jungle. Therefore, take choppers and spades to clear the way." After hearing this, all the people accompanied Madhavendrapuri with great pleasure. According to his directions, they cut down bushes, cleared a path, and entered the jungle. When they saw the deity covered with dirt and grass, they were all struck with wonder and pleasure. After they cleansed the body of the deity, one of them said, "The deity is very heavy. No one person can move him." Since the deity was very heavy, some of the stronger men assembled to carry him to the top of the hill. Madhavendra Puri also went there. A big stone was made into a throne, and the deity was installed upon it. Another big stone was placed behind the deity for support. All the Brahmin priests of the village gathered together with 9 water pots, and water from Govindakund Lake was brought there and filtered. When the deity was being installed, 900 pots of water were brought from Govindakund. There were musical sounds of bugles and drums and the singing of women. During the festival, at the installation ceremony, some people sang and some danced. All the milk, yogurt, and clarified butter in the village was brought to the festival. Various foods and sweetmeats, as well as other kinds of presentations, were brought there. I am unable to describe all these. The villagers brought a large quantity of tulsi leaves, flowers, and various kinds of garments. Then Sri Madhavendra Puri personally began the Abhishek bathing ceremony. Purport. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, 6th Vilas, verse 30, it is stated that the deity should be bathed in water mixed with yogurt and milk, accompanied by the sounds of conch shells, bells, and other instruments, and the chanting of the mantra, Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya Namaha, as well as the chanting of the Brahma Samhita verses beginning Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpavriksha Lakshavriteshu Surabir Abhipalayantam. Text 60. After all inauspicious things were driven away by the chanting of the mantra, the deity's bathing ceremony started. First, the deity was massaged with large quantity of oil so that his body became very glossy. After the first bathing, further bathings were conducted with pancha gavya and then with pancha chamrita. Then the maha snana was performed with ghee and water, which had been brought in 100 pots. Purport. The ingredients of pancha gavya are milk, yogurt, ghee, or clarified butter, cow urine, and cow dung. All these items come from the cow. Therefore, we can just imagine how important the cow is, since its urine and stool are required for bathing the deity. The panchamrita consists of 5 kinds of nectar: yogurt, milk, ghee, honey, and sugar. The major portion of this preparation also comes from the cow. To make it more palatable, sugar and honey are added. After the maha snana was finished, the deity was again massaged with scented oil and his body made glossy. Then the last bathing ceremony was performed with scented water kept within a conch shell. Purport. In his commentary on this occasion, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur quotes from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, "Barley powder, wheat powder, vermilion powder, urad dal powder, and another powder preparation called avata, made by mixing banana powder and ground rice, are applied to the deity's body with a brush made from the hair at the end of what kind of an animal's tail? A cow's tail, yes. This produces a nice finish. The oil smeared over the body of the deity should be scented. To perform the mahasnana, at least 2.5 mounds, about 24 gallons of water, are needed to pour water over the body of the deity." After the body of the deity was cleansed, he was dressed very nicely with new garments. Then sandalwood pulp, tulsi garlands, and other fragrant flower garlands were placed upon the body of the deity. After the bathing ceremony was finished, incense and lamps were burned, and all kinds of food offered before the deity. These foods included yogurt, milk, and as many sweetmeats as were received. The deity was first offered many varieties of food. Then scented drinking water in new pots, and then water for washing the mouth. Finally, pan mixed with a variety of spices was offered. After the last offering of tambul and pan, Bhoga Artik was performed. Finally, everyone offered various prayers and then obeisances, falling flat before the deity in full surrender. As soon as the people of the village had understood that the deity was going to be installed, they had brought their entire stocks of rice, dal, and wheat flour. They brought such large quantities that the entire surface of the top of the hill was filled. When the villagers brought their stock of rice, dal, and flour, the potters of the village brought all kinds of cooking pots, and in the morning the cooking began. 10 Brahmins cooked the food grains, and 5 Brahmins cooked both dry and liquid vegetables. The vegetable preparations were made from various kinds of spinach, roots, and fruits collected from the forest, and someone had made bata and bati by mashing dal. Does anybody know what bata and bati is? Any scholars here? Because I don't. No? Okay. Huh? Bata? Okay. Thank you. Five to seven men had prepared a huge quantity of chapatis, which was sufficiently covered with ghee, clarified butter, as were all the vegetables, rice, and dal. All the cooked rice was stacked on palasha leaves, which were on new cloths spread over the ground. Around the stack of cooked rice were stacks of chapatis, and all the vegetables and liquid vegetable preparations were placed in different pots and put around them. Pots of yogurt, milk, buttermilk, and shikharani, sweet rice, cream, and solid cream were placed alongside the vegetables. Purport. In this kind of ceremony, which is called anukuta, cooked rice is stacked like a small mountain for prasad distribution. In this way, the Anukut ceremony was performed, and Madhavendra Puri Goswami personally offered everything to Gopal. Many water pots were filled with scented water for drinking, and Lord Sri Gopal, who had been hungry for many days, ate everything offered to him. Although Sri Gopal ate everything offered, still, by the touch of his transcendental hand, everything remained as before. So we have a purport here. The atheists cannot understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing in the form of the deity, can eat all the food offered by his devotees. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Tad aham bhaktyupat paratam ashnami prayatmana. Which means, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. That's from Bhagavad Gita 9:26. The Lord is Purna, complete, and therefore he eats everything offered by his devotees. However, by the touch of his transcendental hand, all the food remains exactly as before. It is the quality that is changed. Before the food was offered, it was something else. But after it is offered, the food acquires a transcendental quality. Because the Lord is Purna, he remains the same even after eating. Purnasya Purnam Adayam Purnam Evavishyate. The food offered to Krishna is qualitatively as good as Krishna, just as Krishna is avyaya, indestructible. The food eaten by Krishna, being identical with him, remains as before. Apart from this, Krishna can eat the food with any one of his transcendental senses. He can eat by seeing the food or by touching it. Nor should one think that it is necessary for Krishna to eat. He does not become hungry like an ordinary human being. Nonetheless, he presents himself as being hungry. And as such, he can eat everything and anything, regardless of quantity. The philosophy underlying Krishna's eating is understandable by our transcendental senses. When our senses are purified by constantly being engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, we can understand Krishna's activities, names, forms, qualities, pastimes, and entourage. So in order to understand these, it definitely requires a certain degree of purification. Otherwise, sometimes persons, they become skeptical, and they conjecture, they speculate, and so forth. Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Nabaved Grayam Indriya Sevan Mukhe Hi Jivado Svayam Eva Svaratyada, which means, no one can understand Krishna by the blunt material senses, but he reveals himself to the devotees, being pleased with them for their transcendental loving service to him. The devotees understand Krishna through revelation. It is not possible for a mundane scholar to understand Krishna and his pastimes through research work on the non-devotional platform. Text number 78. How Gopal ate everything while the food remained the same was transcendentally perceived by Madhavendra Puri. So, this is interesting. Madhavendra Puri saw the Lord eating the food, and yet as he saw him eating the food still remained there, so that his devotees could then share amongst themselves the delectable and spiritual remnants that the Lord had left. Nothing remains a secret to the devotees of the Lord. The wonderful festival and installation of Sri Gopal was arranged in one day. Certainly, all this was accompanied by the potency of Gopal. No one but a devotee could understand this. Because I want to try to finish this in time, I may skip over some of the purports. That doesn't mean I feel they're insignificant or unimportant, but I'm trying to respect the time element that other devotees do have service to perform, and I'm usually chastised vehemently by some of the devotees sitting here, and I can only handle so much, so please forgive me if I cut you short on this. Madhavendra Puri offered water to Gopal for washing his mouth, and he gave him betel nuts to chew. Then, while arati was performed, all the people chanted, Jai, Jai, all glories to Gopal. Arranging for the Lord's rest, Sri Madhavendra Puri brought a new cot, and over this he spread a new bedspread and thus made the bed ready. A temporary temple was constructed by covering the bed all around with a straw mattress. Thus there was a bed and a straw mattress to cover it. After the Lord had laid down to rest on the bed, Madhavendra Puri gathered all the Brahmins who had prepared the prasad and said to them, Now feed everyone sumptuously, from the children on up to the aged. All the people gathered there, sat down to honor the prasad, and by they took food. All the Brahmins and their wives were fed first. That's due to the etiquette. Generally, the Brahmins are fed first, and then the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Shudras. Not only did the people of Govardhan village take prasad, but also those who came from other villages. They also saw the deity of Gopal and were offered prasad to eat. Seeing the influence of Madhavendra Puri, all the people gathered there were struck with wonder. They saw that the Anukuta ceremony, which had been performed before, during the time of Krishna, about 5,000 years ago, was now taking place again by the mercy of Sri Madhavendra Puri. So we have a very, very long purport. I'm going to text number 87. All the Brahmins present on that occasion were initiated by Madhavendra Puri into the Vaishnav cult, and Madhavendra Puri engaged them in different types of service. So the point is this. Some might wonder, these are Brahmins, why is Madhavendra Puri initiating them? Well, if you're going to do ceremonies or rites or rituals, artis, to a Vishnu deity, then you must have Vaishnav initiation. That's mentioned in this particular purport. So he gave them a Vaishnav initiation, and it is mentioned in a number of purports that the Vaishnav position is even higher than that of a Brahmin. It includes the Brahmin, but it goes much higher because the ultimate goal of being a Vaishnav is total surrender to the Supreme Lord. It is one's desire to please the Lord, to glorify the Lord, to honor the Lord, to want nothing for oneself, to care nothing for oneself, except insofar as one uses one's body and mind and intelligence to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, to glorify the Lord, and to honor the Lord. So this is the Vaishnav has only one thing in mind, as it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So, number 88, after taking rest, the deity must be awakened at the end of the day, and immediately some food and some water must be offered to him. When it was advertised throughout the country that Lord Gopal had appeared atop Govardhan Hill, all the people from neighboring villages came to see the deity. One village after another was pleased to beg Madhavendra Puri to allot them one day to perform the Anukut ceremony. Thus, day after day, the Anukut ceremony was performed for some time. So this was a very big occasion, a big celebration. It went on and on. And it's very wonderful because the people were continuously being reminded of the glory, the greatness, the wonder of the Supreme Lord in the form of Gopal. Sri Madhavendra Puri did not eat anything throughout the day, but at night, after laying the deity down to rest, he took a milk preparation. The next morning, the rendering of service to the deity began again, and people from one village arrived with all kinds of food grains. The inhabitants of the village brought to the deity of Gopal as much food grains, ghee, yogurt, and milk as they had in their village. Text 64. The next day, almost like before, there was an Anukut ceremony. All the Brahmins prepared foodstuffs, and Gopal accepted them. The ideal place to execute Krishna consciousness is Vrajabhumi, or Vrindavan, where the people are naturally inclined to love Krishna, and Krishna is naturally inclined to love them. Throngs of people came from different villages to see the deity of Gopal. And they took Mahaprasad sumptuously. When they saw the super excellent form of Lord Gopal, all their lamentation and unhappiness disappeared. All the villages in neighboring Rajabhumi, Vrindavan became aware of the appearance of Gopal, and all the people from these villages came to see him. Day after day, they performed the Anukut ceremony. In this way, not only the neighboring villages, but all the other provinces came to know of Gopal's appearance. Thus, people came from all over, bringing a variety of presentations. The people of Mathura, who are very big capitalists, also brought various presentations and offered them before the deity in devotional service. Thus, countless presentations of gold, silver, garments, scented articles, and edibles arrived. The store of Gopal increased daily. One very rich kshatriya of the royal order constructed a temple. Someone made cooking utensils, and someone constructed boundary walls. Each and every family residing in the land of Rajabhumi contributed one cow. In this way, thousands of cows became the property of Gopal. Eventually, two Brahmins in the renounced order arrived from Bengal, and Madhavendra Puri, who liked them very much, kept them in Vrindavan and gave them all kinds of comforts. These two were then initiated by Madhavendra Puri, and he entrusted them with the daily service of the Lord. This service was performed continuously, and the worship of the deity became very gorgeous. Thus, Madhavendra Puri was very pleased. I should mention that Advaita Acharya was also initiated by Madhavendra Puri. So was Lord Nityananda initiated by him. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was also initiated by him. And so some very great and glorious devotees had taken, also, of course, Ishvara Puri, whom I spoke on a few weeks ago. In this way, the deity worship in the temple was very gorgeously performed for 2 years. Then one day, Madhavendra Puri had a dream. In his dream, Madhavendra Puri saw Gopal, who said, "My bodily temperature still has not decreased. Please bring sandalwood from the Malaya province and smear the pulp over my body to cool me. Bring sandalwood pulp from Jagannath Puri. Kindly go quickly. Since no one else can do it, you must." So here we see Madhavendra Puri is being given an order from Gopal. And Gopal comes in the dream. And this is a wonderful and ecstatic moment for Madhavendra Puri. After having this dream, Madhavendra Puri became very glad due to ecstasy of love of Godhead. And in order to execute the command of the Lord, he started east toward Bengal. Give me a moment to change my position. Before leaving, Madhavendra Puri made all arrangements for regular deity worship, and he engaged different people in various duties. Then, taking up the order of Gopal, he started for Bengal. When Madhavendra Puri arrived at the house of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur, the Acharya became very pleased upon seeing the ecstatic love of God manifest in Madhavendra Puri. Advaita Acharya begged to be initiated by Madhavendra Puri. After initiating him, Madhavendra Puri started for South India. So we can just imagine how advanced, how important how glorious Madhavendra Puri was. Here we see the incarnation of Mahavishnu asking for initiation from Madhavendra Puri. So Advaita Acharya is a grand, glorious, amazing devotee himself, or I should say the Supreme Lord manifesting himself as the devotee. And that's why we give or we attach much importance to this particular great personality. Advaita Acharya, well, I already read that, sorry. Going into South India, Sri Madhavendra Puri visited Remuna, where Gopinath is situated. Upon seeing the beauty of the deity, Madhavendra Puri was overwhelmed. In the corridor of the temple, from which people generally viewed the deity, Madhavendra Puri chanted and danced. Then he sat down and asked a Brahmin what kinds of foods they offered to the deity. So we can see what his meditation is. He's always thinking of his Gopal. He sees some food being offered. He wonders what it is, what it consists of, because he had heard that Gopinath, which is the deity there, gets very wonderful, tasty, palatable food. So he wants to do the same for his deity, Gopal. From the excellence of the arrangements, Madhavendra Puri understood by deduction that only the best food was offered. Madhavendra Puri thought, I shall inquire from the priest what foods are offered to Gopinath so that by making arrangements in our kitchen, we can offer similar foods to Sri Gopal. When the Brahmin priest was questioned in this matter, he explained in detail what kinds of foods were offered to the deity of Gopinath. The Brahmin priest said, in the evening, the deity is offered sweet rice in 12 earthen pots. Because the taste is as good as nectar, amrita, it is named Amrita Keli. This sweet rice is celebrated throughout the world as Gopinath Kshira. It is not offered anywhere else in the world. While Madhavendra Puri was talking with the Brahmin priest, the sweet rice was placed before the deity as an offering. Hearing this, Madhavendra Puri thought as follows, very important. If without asking, a little sweet rice is given to me, I can then taste it and make a similar preparation to offer my Lord Gopal. Madhavendra Puri became greatly ashamed then when he desired to taste the sweet rice, because the Lord hadn't tasted it himself yet. And he immediately began to think of Lord Vishnu. When a devotee commits an offense, the first thing, and he knows it's an offense, so he says, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, please forgive me. So he uttered this Lord Vishnu. While he was thus thinking of Lord Vishnu, the offering was completed, and the arti ceremony began. After the arti was finished, Madhavendra Puri offered his obeisances to the deity and then left the temple. He did not say anything more to anyone. Madhavendra Puri avoided begging. He was completely unattached and indifferent to material things. He would not beg. If someone offered him some food, he would eat. Otherwise, he would fast. This is a higher level than of sannyas. Generally, a sannyasi will beg. He goes from door to door, and if he gets, he eats. If he doesn't. But here, Madhavendra Puri, he had complete and total dependence upon the Supreme Lord. In other words, his position was, thy will be done. If you want me to eat, then send someone to feed me. And if you don't want me to eat, then I won't eat. I am at your disposal. Thy will be done. You want to kill me? Don't feed me. You want me to live? Then feed me. This is such detachment, it's actually almost inconceivable. A Paramahansa like Madhavendra Puri is always satisfied in the loving service of the Lord. Material hunger and thirst cannot impede his activities. When he desired to taste a little sweet rice offered to the deity, he considered that he had committed an offense by desiring to eat what was being offered to the deity. Madhavendra Puri left the temple and sat down in the village marketplace, which was vacant. Sitting there, he began to chant. In the meantime, the temple priest laid the deity down to rest. Finishing his daily duties, the priest went to take rest. In a dream, he saw the Gopinath deity come to talk to him, and he spoke as follows. Please get up and open the door of the temple. I have kept one pot of sweet rice for the sannyasi Madhavendra Puri. This pot of sweet rice is just behind my cloth curtain. You did not see it because of my tricks. A sannyasi named Madhavendra Puri is sitting in the vacant marketplace. Please take this pot of sweet rice from behind me and deliver it to him. Awaking from his dream, the priest immediately rose from bed and thought it wise to take a bath before entering the deity's room. He then opened the temple door. According to the deity's directions, the priest found the pot of sweet rice behind the cloth curtain. He removed the pot and mopped up the place where it had been kept. He then went out of the temple. Closing the door of the temple, he went to the village with the pot of sweet rice. He called out in every stall in search of Madhavendra Puri. Holding the pot of sweet rice, the priest called, "Will he whose name is Madhavendra Puri please come and take this pot? Gopinath has stolen this pot for you." The priest continued, "Would the sannyasi whose name is Madhavendra Puri please come and take this pot of sweet rice and enjoy the prasad with great happiness? You are the most fortunate person within these three worlds." Hearing this invitation, Madhavendra Puri came out and identified himself. The priest then delivered the pot of sweet rice and offered his obeisances, falling flat before him. When the story about the pot of sweet rice was explained to him in detail, Sri Madhavendra Puri at once became absorbed in ecstatic love of Krishna. Upon seeing the ecstatic loving symptoms manifest in Madhavendra Puri, the priest was struck with wonder. He could understand why Krishna had become so much obliged to him, and he saw that Krishna's action was befitting. The priest offered his obeisances to Madhavendra Puri and returned to the temple. Then in ecstasy, Madhavendra Puri ate the sweet rice offered to him by Krishna. After this, Madhavendra Puri washed the pot and broke it into pieces. He then bound all the pieces in his outer cloth and kept them nicely. Each day, Madhavendra Puri would eat one piece of that earthen pot, and after eating it, he would immediately be overwhelmed with ecstasy. These are the wonderful stories. Having broken the pot and bound the pieces in his cloth, Madhavendra Puri began to think, "The Lord has given me a pot of sweet rice, and when the people hear of this tomorrow morning, there will be great crowds." Thinking this, Sri Madhavendra Puri offered his obeisances to Gopinath on the spot and left Ramuna before morning. We can see that his nature is that he doesn't want to be adored. He doesn't want to be celebrated. He doesn't want to be glorified. He doesn't want to be looked at as a saint. He himself considers himself lower than the straw on the street. And he's happy in that identity. All he wants to do is serve the Lord, love the Lord, glorify the Lord, and try to please the Lord. That's his only interest. So he wants to escape all this adoration. Of course, you know, if the deity he steals something for you and it gets around, the public hears about it, they want to see this person and they want to touch his feet. They want to glorify him. They want to sing to him and so forth. So Madhavendra Puri definitely did not want to have any part of that. Sometimes, you know, it's when a great spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada would get that, it's not something they like, but they deal with it by simply giving everything that's being given to them to their spiritual master and consider that they are nothing more than a temporary custodian of it, and then they deliver it to the spiritual master who delivers this ultimately to Krishna. That way they stay free of false pride. Walking and walking, Madhavendra Puri finally reached Jagannath Puri, which is also known as Nilachala. There he saw Lord Jagannath and was overwhelmed with loving ecstasy. When Madhavendra Puri was overwhelmed in the ecstasy of love of Godhead, he sometimes stood up and sometimes fell to the ground. Sometimes he laughed, danced, and sang. In this way he enjoyed transcendental bliss by seeing the Jagannath deity. When Madhavendra Puri came to Jagannath Puri, people were aware of his transcendental reputation. Therefore, crowds of people came and offered him all sorts of respect and devotion. You can see he could never escape it. Even though one may not like it, reputation as ordained by providence comes to him. Indeed, one's transcendental reputation is known throughout the entire world. Being afraid of his reputation, Pratishtha, Madhavendra Puri fled from Ramuna. But the reputation brought by love of Godhead is so sublime that it goes along with the devotee as if following him. Madhavendra Puri wanted to leave Jagannath Puri because the people were honoring him as a great devotee. However, this threatened to hinder his collecting sandalwood for the Gopal deity. So that's another very important point. He wants to get his service done. And in wanting to do that, he doesn't want interference. He doesn't want obstacles. He wants to do it because that is where his heart is, to serve his Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength. When all the devotees at Jagannath Puri heard that the Gopal deity wanted sandalwood in great pleasure, they all endeavored to collect it. Those who were acquainted with government offices met with them and begged for camphor and sandalwood, which they collected. One Brahmin and one servant were given to Madhavendra Puri just to carry the sandalwood. He was also given the necessary traveling expenses. To get past the toll collectors along the way, Madhavendra Puri was supplied with the necessary release papers from the government officers. The papers were placed in his hand. In this way, Madhavendra Puri started for Vrindavan with the burden of sandalwood. And after some days, he again reached the village of, what is that village? Ramuna, and the Gopinath temple there. When Madhavendra Puri reached the temple of Gopinath, he offered his respectful obeisances many times at the lotus feet of the Lord. In the ecstasy of love, he began to dance and sing without cessation. When the priest of Gopinath saw Madhavendra Puri again, he offered all respects to him and, giving him the sweet rice prasad, made him eat. Madhavendra Puri took rest that night in the temple, but toward the end of the night, he had another dream. Madhavendra Puri dreamed that Gopal came before him and said, "O Madhavendra Puri, I have already received all the sandalwood and camphor. Now just grind all the sandalwood together with the camphor and then smear the pulp on the body of Gopinath daily until it is finished. There is no difference between my body and Gopinath's body. They are one and the same. Therefore, if you smear the sandalwood pulp on the body of Gopinath, you will naturally smear it on my body. Thus, the temperature of my body will be reduced." So there we have the understanding of the oneness of the different deities, although sometimes they do manifest different personalities. But yes, Gopinath would receive the sandalwood, would be rubbed on his back, and Gopal, who was in Vrindavan, would feel the benefit as well. "You should not hesitate to act according to my order. Believing in me, just do what is needed." After giving these instructions, Gopal disappeared and Madhavendra Puri awoke. He immediately called for all the servants of Gopinath and they came before him. Madhavendra Puri said, "Smear the body of Gopinath with this camphor and sandalwood I have brought for Gopal in Vrindavan. Do this regularly every day. If the sandalwood pulp is smeared over the body of Gopinath, then Gopal will be cooled. After all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely independent. His order is all-powerful." the servants of Gopinath became very pleased to hear that in the summer, all the sandalwood pulp would be used to anoint the body of Gopinath. Madhavendra Puri said, these two assistants, the assistants that he came with, will regularly grind the sandalwood, and you should also get two other people to help. I shall pay their salary. In this way, Gopinathji was supplied ground sandalwood pulp daily. The servants of Gopinath were very pleased with this. In this way, the sandalwood pulp was smeared over the body of Gopinath until the whole stock was finished. Madhavendra Puri stayed there until that time. At the end of summer, Madhavendra Puri returned to Jagannath Puri, where he remained with great pleasure during the whole period of Chaturmasya. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally praised the nectarine characteristics of Madhavendra Puri, and while he related all this to the devotees, he personally relished it. So we're coming near the end now. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Nityananda Prabhu to judge whether there was anyone within the world as fortunate as Madhavendra Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Madhavendra Puri was so fortunate that Krishna personally appeared before him on the plea of delivering milk. Three times the Lord gave orders to Madhavendra Puri in dreams. Being obliged because of the loving affairs of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Krishna himself appeared as the Gopal deity, and accepting his service, he liberated the whole world. On account of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Gopinath stole the pot of sweet rice. Thus he became famous as Chira Chura, the thief who stole the sweet rice. Madhavendra Puri smeared the sandalwood pulp over the body of Gopinath, and in this way was overpowered with love of Godhead. In the provinces of India, governed by the Mohammedans, there was much inconvenience in traveling with sandalwood and camphor. Because of this, Madhavendra Puri might have gotten into trouble. This became known to the Gopal deity. The Lord is very merciful and attached to his devotee. So, when Gopinath was covered with sandalwood pulp, Madhavendra Puri's labor became successful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed the standard of Madhavendra Puri's intense love before Nityananda Prabhu for judgment. All his loving activities are uncommon, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Indeed, one is struck with wonder to hear of his activities. Sri Madhavendra Puri used to remain alone, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. He was completely renounced and always very silent. He was uninterested in everything material, and for fear of talking about mundane things, he always lived without a companion. After receiving the transcendental orders of Gopal, this great personality traveled thousands of miles just to collect sandalwood by begging. Although Madhavendra Puri was hungry, he would not beg food to eat. This renounced person carried a load of sandalwood for the sake of Sri Gopal. It was about 82 pounds. Without considering his personal comforts, Madhavendra Puri carried one mound, about 82 pounds, of sandalwood and 20 tolas, about 8 ounces of camphor, to smear over the body of Gopal. This transcendental pleasure was sufficient for him. Since there were restrictions against taking the sandalwood out of Orissa province, the toll official confiscated the stock. But Madhavendra Puri showed him the release papers given by the government and consequently escaped difficulties. But here we see Gopal, of course, doesn't want to put any more difficulties in front of Madhavendra Puri in the form of these tax collectors, or there may be thieves and rogues. So that's why he asked him to smear the sandalwood on Gopinath, and he would be benefited just as well. Madhavendra Puri was not at all anxious during the long journey to Vrindavan through the provinces governed by the Mohammedans and filled with unlimited numbers of watchmen. Although Madhavendra Puri did not have a farthing with him, he was not afraid to pass by the toll officers. His only enjoyment was in carrying the load of sandalwood to Vrindavan for Gopal. This is natural result of intense love of Godhead. The devotee does not consider personal inconveniences or impediments. In all circumstances, he wants to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Gopal wanted to show how intensely Madhavendra Puri loved Krishna. Therefore, he asked him to go to Nilachala to fetch sandalwood and camphor. With great trouble and after much labor, Madhavendra Puri brought the load of sandalwood to Ramuna. However, he was still very pleased. He discounted all the difficulties. Didn't care about that. He was ready to die if necessary. That's the way he served and loved his Lord. To test the intense love of Madhavendra Puri, and we will all be put through different tests. So we should be ready, waiting, and ideally able to get through those tests and pass those tests. To test the intense love of Madhavendra Puri, Gopal, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ordered him to bring sandalwood from Nilachala. And when Madhavendra Puri passed this examination, the Lord became very merciful to him. Such behavior exhibited an unloving service between the devotee and the devotee's lovable object, Sri Krishna, is transcendental. It is not possible for a common man to understand. Common men do not even have the capacity. After saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the famous verse of Madhavendra Puri. That verse is just like the moon. It has spread illumination all over the world. By continuous rubbing, the aroma of Malaya sandalwood increases. Similarly, by considering this verse, its importance increases. And I will give that verse in a few moments. As the Kaustubha Mani jewel is considered the most precious of valuable stones, this verse is similarly considered the best of mellow poems. Actually, this verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani herself, and by her mercy only was it manifest in the words of Madhavendra Puri. Only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has tasted the poetry of this verse. No fourth man is capable of understanding it. Madhavendra Puri recited this verse again and again at the end of his material existence. Thus, uttering this verse, he attained the ultimate goal of life. And the verse goes, O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved, what shall I do now? We can see and feel and sense the helplessness of it, almost the hopelessness of it, the precariousness of his situation, the feeling that life and death were really the same. If he didn't see his Lord, he would die. And if he sees his Lord, he would live. This was the feeling that was there. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited this verse, he immediately fell to the ground unconscious. He was overwhelmed and had no control over himself. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell to the ground in ecstatic love, Lord Nityananda took him on his lap, crying. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then got up again. Exhibiting ecstatic emotions, the Lord began to run here and there, making resounding sounds. Sometimes he laughed, and sometimes he cried, and sometimes danced and sang. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not recite the whole verse. He simply said, Ayadina, Ayadina, is it Bengali, repeatedly. Thus, he could not speak, and profuse tears were streaming down his eyes. Trembling, perspiration, jubilant tears, shock, fading of the bodily luster, disappointment, moroseness, loss of memory, pride, joy, and humility were all visible in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. This verse uncovered the door of ecstatic love, and when it was exhibited, all the servants of Gopinath saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance in ecstasy. When many people crowded around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he regained his external senses. In the meantime, the offering to the deity had been finished, and there was a resounding arti performance. When the deities were laid down to rest, The priest came out of the temple and offered all 12 pots of sweet rice to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When all the pots of sweet rice, remnants left by Gopinath, were placed before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became very, very pleased. In order to feed the devotees, he accepted 5 of them, one for himself and 4 for the others. They were Nityananda and Jagannanda Pandit, Damodar Pandit, and Mukundadat. The 7 remaining pots were pushed forward and delivered to the priest. Then the 5 pots of sweet rice the Lord had accepted were distributed among the 5 devotees, and they ate the prasad. Being identical with the Gopinath deity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already tasted and eaten the pots of sweet rice. Yet, just to manifest devotional service, he again ate the pots of sweet rice as a devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed that night at the temple, engaged in congregational chanting. In the morning, after seeing the Mangal Arati performance, he departed. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally tasted with his own mouth the transcendental qualities of Gopalji, Gopinath, and Sri Madhavendra Puri. Thus, I have described both the transcendental glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's affection for his devotees and the highest limit of ecstatic love of God. One who hears this narration with faith and devotion attains the treasure of love of Godhead at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, 4th chapter, describing Sri Madhavendra Puri's devotional service. And I thank you all for your patient, attentive listening. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. All glories to Sri Madhavendra Puri ki. All glories to Sri La Prabhupada ki. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Hare Krishna.
What time is it?